fighting for America.
The media market personality Marconi goes to Kevin Miller, KIDOAM, Boise, Idaho.
Fighting for Idaho.
I just want to say to all of you, thank you for believing in radio and local radio. I want to thank Town Square Media. I want to thank Kevin Godwin. I want to thank all my listeners.
Fighting for you.
But in reality, this award is about all of you that believe in radio, that believe in touching people's lives. God bless you all. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Well, my friends, here we are. Our time of need, our time of doubt. We are surrounded. We are inundated. We are under siege. And a lot of folks are bummed out. People are saying, is it over? People are worried about being called bigots. People are worried about being called homophobes. Is this not the United States of America? And here you have one person who has been under siege, one person who has been under attack by the conservative movement in his own party, our last hope. And that would be Governor C.L. Butch Otter. Now you're going to have a lot of people saying, Governor, don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. Don't waste anything else. Don't appeal this decision. This morning, we're going to dedicate ourselves to urging Governor Otter to appealing this decision. Let the Supreme Court finally tell us no. Let the Supreme Court finally say no. But you have to exhaust every means, do you not? More on that in a minute. Joining us now from the Media Research Center, Tim Graham joins us at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
So here in Idaho, just like across the country, all the gay marriage bans have gone down. We're about ready to start singing It's Raining Men. Hallelujah, It's Raining Men. And one has to wonder, have we ever seen anything in our country where the entertainment, where the media has dictated the direction? 10 years ago, states were passing constitutional amendments. 10 years later, they're all pretty much done.
Well, there's no doubt that you've had a remarkable amount of propaganda out there. You know, everything from Brokeback Mountain to Glee to, you know, lots of things that have tried to suggest that there's only one way to think, you know, and if you have a different way of thinking, you're not welcome to speak.
You're called names. You're made fun of. It's intolerance from the tolerant crowd.
Well, it is one of those things. There are just this whole series of issues where the liberal media says there shall not be another side.
And we're seeing that. I'm sure you face that yourself.
Absolutely true. So, I mean, I think that part of the problem sometimes is that the worst kind of liberal media bias we have is when they're convinced that the other side is evil. Therefore, you know, these are the same people who would have loved to have gotten an interview with Osama bin Laden, but they won't talk to a conservative. You know, they just want to say this point of view is so reprehensible that we're not going to give it airtime. And ultimately what they're thinking is the less time we give this point of view, the more quickly we will win.
Right. And, you know, we've seen it. It's funny because people say, well, the millennial generation is different. Well, the millennial generation, you start with Friends, you start with Glee, you start with all these other shows, The Amazing Race, Survivor, everything else. They've been indoctrinated with the gay lifestyle. And we're seeing it now where they have a different point of view from their predecessors.
It's everywhere. Orange is the New Black. I mean, we could sit here for quite a while listing all the shows.
So what do conservatives do, Tim?
Well, I think what they don't do is look at this and say it's over. I think that's the hard part, is liberals want to look at it now and say it's over. I think what's frustrating here is what we've done is create this system where what happens first is the judges overrule the people. And then in the interim, Hollywood and the media get the people to come around, and then the judges win. Because you can't now come out and say, well, see, the judges have overruled the people, and then the media now says, well, look at the polls now. But the real concern becomes it's still really not about the polls, because there are still 18 states that don't recognize this. And this, the other point is that because these circuits made these decisions, there are states in these circuits that are now, you know, seen as gay marriage states that never supported it. They just, you know, by default, by judicial default, they're now counted. And so, I mean, I think that there is a, there's just a situation here where they've decided this is somehow like slavery or something, and it has to be defeated. And that's, yeah, the answer, I guess, is to say, we have to keep speaking out for what we believe. Ultimately, what they never want to say in all of these decisions is that God has a say, or that the Bible has a say, because these people all want to shred the Bible and say it should have nothing to do in the way this country operates. And when people, when the millennials are choosing which side they're going to be on, they got to understand they're rejecting God's side.
Tim Graham joining us from the Media Research Center, and not only talking about the gay rights movement in the press, the gay rights propaganda, if you will, my words, not yours, Tim, but the idea of covering of the war on terror. I'm sure you saw the Melissa Harris-Perry clip last week where she called the guy a gentleman and, you know, was bashing people for saying that rightfully he was a Muslim who beheaded a woman.
Well, I think that was a serious gaffe on her part. Is if you're going to run around and wear tampon earrings and say you're a feminist, how is it that you call a guy who beheads a woman a gentleman? It's utterly mind-boggling. Look, MSNBC, the M might as well stand for Muslim at this point. You know, this fight they had over the weekend between Bill Maher and Ben Affleck, MSNBC, hour on the hour, was coming out in support of Ben Affleck and basically suggesting that Bill Maher was gross and racist, just like Ben Affleck said he was. And so, yes, I think the whole problem here is you have a group of people who won't look, again, they're not going to look at the polls from Muslim countries, where you're going to find that 84% of Egyptians, for example, think it's okay or it's acceptable to kill someone for leaving the Muslim religion, that they should be executed. And they'll say, well, a tiny infinitesimal minority, they always want to say the Muslims, well, they're not represented by Osama bin Laden. But again, look at these polls, and they ask people, do you approve or disapprove of Hamas or Hezbollah? Majorities in a lot of these countries approve of Hamas or Hezbollah. They have a much higher opinion of Hamas than they do of the United States. That's what this is about.
And, you know, and here's the one thing that I love at 580KIDO, Tim Graham with us from the Media Research Center, is this issue involving Christians. Christians are intolerant, Christians are this, Christians are that. But you hear Ben Affleck going crazy concerning the Muslims and even questioning them. Do we have a clip here, sweet woman? Let's take a clip here from this clip. And by the way, thank you, Ray Amai, for this. Let's play this.
There are voices that are oftentimes raised in opposition to these jihadists,
yes,
and to these extreme acts. But guess what? They don't get covered. They don't get exposed. And they're not given the same,
well,
level, of same level of platform that we see the jihadists.
One reason they don't get exposed is because they were afraid to speak out. Because
that's
the only, it's the only religion that acts like the mafia that will kill you if you say the wrong thing,
I mean,
draw the wrong picture, or write the wrong book.
So you do have,
and there's a reason why Ayaan Hirsi Ali needs bodyguards 24/7.
Tim Graham, your thoughts?
Well, again, I think that I can see where some people would dislike it to say, you know, it's the only religion that acts like the mafia. Well, they would say, well, there are peaceful Muslims. And again, but you end up saying, okay, 37%, you know. And I think what it's upsetting is that Ben Affleck's not going to speak up for the Catholics in this way. Ben Affleck's not going to speak up for the evangelical Christians in this way. He's not going to speak up for the Jews in this way. He's going to speak up just for the Muslims. Because in Hollywood, they just have this feeling that to be, you know, quote-unquote Islamophobic is the equivalent of racism. They see Islam as a black or brown person's religion, and they think that the Christians don't like the Muslims, even Bill Maher, because somehow he doesn't like brown people. And this is where it's like, again, you're not paying attention to the facts. What he is saying in that thing, where Mara is saying, Ayaan Hirsi Ali has had a lot of death threats for being a very, you know, fierce critic of Islam. She has constant death threats. She has to have bodyguards. That's the truth. She was not allowed to give the commencement address at Rutgers. They banned her because, again, there you cannot say these things from a public podium, that Islam is the only religion that has this sort of feeling, like if you leave the religion, you shall be killed. Christianity doesn't have that. This is where Bill Maher starts looking like a defender of Christians. He went on the Charlie Rose show on PBS, and he said, Christians don't stone you for adultery. Christians don't kill you for leaving the religion.
And yet Christians are always vilified and everything else when it comes to the press. What do you make of the coverage of ISIS and ISIL?
I think that the even liberals right now want to go out and say that ISIS is evil. I think, that, you know, I was listening to a little smidgen of the North Carolina Senate debate last night. And, you know, the Democrat comes out and says, you know, ISIS is this evil and so on and so forth. Well, what about boots in the ground? Oh, absolutely not. Well, you know, I mean, they're going to denounce it as evil because that's what you're supposed to do. We've all seen the beheadings. It's a little hard to come out in support of ISIS after that. The issue becomes, again, is that, and I think the voters get this, is, you know, Barack Obama has been the kind of president that has been dragged kicking and screaming into military action. I mean, he was not elected to wage war on terror. He was very clear about that. And he was reelected after he took out Osama bin Laden, which in a weird way was almost a violation of a campaign promise.
Exactly.
And, of course, the other problem we've always had with Obama and the media is they don't want to acknowledge his losses, his failures in the war on terrorism, starting with two attacks on Fort Hood, the Boston Marathon.
And others. Tim Graham, please stand by. More coming up with our friend Tim Graham. Kevin Miller in the morning. 580 KIDO. We will be talking about the Ninth Circuit's elimination of the stay coming up as well. We'll take your calls on that. Continuing on with the coverage of terrorism, the coverage of politics. Is it ever an opportunity for the other side to get fairness? Is fairness just for one side? We'll talk to Tim Graham from the Watchdogs, the Media Research Center. They do such an excellent job. Always want to support them and get the inside skinny on what's really happening and why people feel the way they do, think the way they do, because of the information they're given. Now time for traffic at 580.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Tim Graham joining us from the Media Research Center. So, Tim, has the media gotten worse as far as their subjectivity?
Well, in the last couple of years since Obama got reelected, you know, what you're remarkably finding is that they've tried, you know, the less popular he's gotten, the less they talk about him, the less they talk about politics. I mean, we saw this a little bit in the second term of Clinton. When they perceive that the Democrats are on the wane, then suddenly it's like time for the Kardashians. And so what we've really found here in these midterms, where Obama's support's very low, where the Democrats are doing badly in the polls, they just don't talk about it. We did laugh a little yesterday that ABC has done its third feature on Clay Aiken running for Congress when he has no chance at all of winning in North Carolina. But for the most part, they're really not covering these midterm elections on television. So, we can still find bias on a daily basis, but what you're finding right now is a lot of what we're finding is what they're not doing.
What do you make of the turnover at Meet the Press?
Well, I think we had some hope that I thought David Gregory was kind of an insufferable person as well as a liberal person. Just somebody who was, you know, whose ego was on parade. So you had some hope with Chuck Todd that you might get somebody. Here's somebody who was brought in by Tim Russert as a political junkie, and you thought this guy might be a little more like Russert. And I don't think that's what we've seen so far.
Right.
I'm disappointed in what I'm seeing. And he's done some things again a week or two ago where he was suggesting there was some sort of anti-tax fervor in America. You know, they're going to focus on Kansas. Again, the way they've covered these midterms is to say, oh, let's focus on Kansas because it looks good for Democrats there. So that's the newsworthy state. And Chuck Todd did exactly that. You know, oh, the governor of Kansas might not get reelected because he cut taxes. Let's harp on that because it gives us hope. That's not news judgment. That's just, again, it's a personal preference.
How about the coverage of Ebola?
I think they've very much presented that as a threat. I think you could argue as a media critic that they're a little closer to panic than not panicking people. If the president wants to not panic people, the news media isn't really cooperating. I think that there is certainly a reluctance to somehow suggest that the Obama administration has done anything wrong on this. And there's even sort of a suggestion that it would be improper to attack the president on this. Well, Lord knows the Democrats tried to suggest George Bush caused Hurricane Katrina. And now, of course, over the weekend, they had this former Obama advisor, Van Jones, on ABC saying Ebola, it's the perfect issue for the Democrats because government solves these problems. Well, I think that's exactly the question right now, is whether the government is solving this problem. You know, liberals always assume the government is always competent. At least when the Democrats are running it, and I think that's very much a question.
Right, but what gets me is just the arrogance of the administration, where on one minute the president makes statements that aren't very consistent. Oh, very, very rare that would come here to America. Now it's coming to America. Let's not panic. David Axelrod on Meet the Press laying the smackdown on Joe Scarborough, condescendingly calling him Dr. Scarborough when he's quoting a Washington Post story saying the CDC was warning folks and the World Health Organization, Doctors Without Borders, they were on this in May, and nothing presumably was done about it.
Well, and I suppose we could always turn that around and say, and the media was slow on it too. And that's always the funny thing, is that we do have a media elite that loves to hold politicians accountable for not doing something that they didn't notice at the time.
Sure, but again, the media really isn't responsible for keeping the viruses, are they?
Yeah, well, right. And so all I'm saying to you is the news media loves to remind us that Congress has low popularity and never reminds anybody it doesn't have high popularity either. And so
you're right, yes.
I think the news media is an important institution in judging how our government is performing. And I'm saying it, journalists can't attack politicians for not paying attention to something that they're not paying attention to. Although you're very right, if you are the CDC, if you are the World Health Organization, if it's your job every day to eliminate these viruses, that is a problem. And obviously we know from the CDC, we had this example where they're putting viruses in FedEx packages. I mean, they are not inspiring confidence this year.
Tim Graham joining us at 580KIDO from the Media Research Center. So how in the world will anybody besides a Democrat get elected, considering the blatant bias in the media coverage when we're talking about the 2016 race?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's always a question. Is every time the Republicans run, they have to realize that they face a stiff headwind of news media. The fact of the matter is, less and less people watch the news media. Less and less people are relying on the networks for their news. We'd like to think we played some part in that. But they still set the agenda, and they still are the ones that if you're a political consultant, you're going to worry first and foremost about how your message gets manipulated by the press. And yes, in every presidential cycle, this is the way it works. In our book, Collusion, on 2012, they took down every Republican candidate. Every time a Republican went to the top of the primary polls, they unleashed investigative journalism on them and tried to destroy them. This is not what they did in 2007, because if you look at 2007, Obama was a genius, Hillary was a genius, John Edwards was a genius, everybody who was running, Joe Biden was terrific, you know, everybody in the Democratic field is a scholar and a statesman. But when the Republicans have 10 people running for president, they're all a bunch of boobs and morons. That sounds like a cartoon. That's actually, you know, I can prove from the transcripts, this is the way that they present the two parties. One's the Keystone Cops and one's the, you know, superhero League of Justice.
Boy, until the Avengers come around. Tim Graham, always a pleasure. Glad to have you back.
All right, you bet.
All right, Tim Graham joining us from the Media Research Center. Coming up next, is it raining men in Idaho? How else can you say it without with a straight face? Are you ready for the Idaho gay marriage? 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com.
The radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals says Idaho's ban on same-sex marriage violates equal protection rights.
It is a good day. I've been with Andrew for 16 years.
It's exciting in a symbolic way, but it also really does provide meaningful legal protections and important ways that we can support each other and take care of our son and be a family.
KIDO, it's raining men at the Ada County Courthouse. You know, I'm glad we started the day with Tim Graham of the Media Research Center to give you a perspective of how the mood has changed in America from 10 years ago, 5 years ago, when states like California, Idaho decided that they wanted to protect marriage. They wanted to keep the definition, a definition that has held steady over 2,000 years and even before of Western civilization. But we know more than anybody else. We know more than our ancestors, our predecessors. We're going to liberate marriage. We're going to make sure that marriage is great between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. And if you disagree, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, you're a very bad person. And I was surprised yesterday. I was talking to some friends of mine, and they said, well, you know, Kevin, if you're against it, you're a bigot. Kevin, yeah, certainly you're not a homophobe, are you? And thank you again for spell-checking my blog at 580kido.com, which I write about. Because I said I was a homophone, not a homophobe, and I'm not. I just am a person that believes that society has to have standards. And if you erode marriage, if all of a sudden you say, hey, it's cool, it's hip, it's happening, what's next? You notice the proponents can't answer that. And by the way, and I don't know how much longer we're going to be here, and you say, Kevin, you just won the Marconi. It doesn't matter. Media companies are shutting down conservative voices. Heck, you heard our friend Mark Levin on with Glenn Beck yesterday. Why? Because they're consolidating their power. Used to be folks like that didn't talk to one another. They're trying to band together because they know that big media wants to get rid of it. We see today, you will not see this station covered as your voice. What you will see are the major media outlets, call them what you will be at the Ada County Courthouse as, get this, the proponents of the same-sex marriage will be celebrating with donuts at 8 o'clock. As opposed to hearing your voice. I'm glad we own the market. And then you're going to have people get on the radio and say, well, I don't have a problem with it. 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 And if you dare say that you do at work, even here in the beloved broadcast center, Kevin Miller under attack, under siege, you're a bad person. Have you ever noticed that the folks that are always preaching tolerance, they like the tolerance as long as you agree with their tolerance, but they're some of the most intolerant folks around. That's my take. Let's get to the skinny here at 580KIDO. With a history of what the heck happened, let's hear from Jessica Rosenthal.
The Ninth Circuit Court was considering gay marriage bans in Idaho and Nevada. A lower court judge had already struck down Idaho's gay marriage ban. A judge in Nevada was upholding their ban. But the Ninth Circuit ruled in both cases there's no compelling interest to keep the gay marriage bans in place. They just discriminate, so they're unconstitutional. Nevada's government hadn't fought to defend the ban. Idaho's attorney general says they think an earlier ruling should stand until there's been an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court announced it decided it would not be hearing appeals from five other states that were trying to keep their bans. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller with you. It is now up to Governor Otter. It is now up to Lawrence Wasden to do the right thing and dare the Supreme Court to say no to Idaho. Let's go to the phones, and we go to, let's see, Gene and Cuno, who's been very patient at 580KIDO. Hello, Gene.
Good morning, my brother. I should say shalom aleichem, means peace be unto you.
Roger that.
As a Jewish man, Yahweh says in his word that it's an abomination. Man shall not lie with man, woman shall not lie with woman, nor shall they lie with beasts. It is an abomination unto Yahweh. And whether they believe in the word or not, it's still there, and this country was founded on biblical principles. So if that was the case, then these people should not be allowed to get married. If they want to love one another, fine. Love one another. Stay in your own house. Do not push it off on everybody else, because, like you said, you're called a homophobe, you're called a bigot, you're called all kinds of names. And it's like, we have the right to our opinion just as much as they have the right to their opinion. Just leave me out of it. And these children that these people are adopting, legitimate parents, a man and a woman, husband and wife, some of them have to jump through more hoops than the alternative lifestyle people. I wouldn't even call them gays, Kevin, because gay means happy. And back in the day when you said somebody was gay, they were happy, they were content, they were having a good time. Now it's meant something totally different. And my heavens, my brother, you know as well as I do that this is an abomination, that it's not right. But what's next? A man marrying a horse? A woman marrying a cow? Maybe like that lady that knew her chimpanzee in the quote-unquote biblical sense? How horrific is that? And how can we combat this? There's got to be a way. Governor Butch, you've got to do something about this. You've got to use all your resources, call in all your markers, call in all your favors. You've got to do something to stop this nonsense.
I would agree. It's now up to Governor Otter. He wants to get reelected. He's got to champion this movement.
Yeah, and you know, even if the people of the alternative lifestyle movement come against him, stand up for what you believe in. If we don't stand up, that's our problem. We don't stand up for what we believe in. I mean, not you and I per se, but others. If we would band together in one cause against this, I'll guarantee you it would clear up pretty cotton picking quick. It really would. And we would get rid of this B dot S dot and get rid of it really quick, because Idaho doesn't need this. We're not California. We're not New York City. And even there, they need to stop this. This is such an abomination. Kevin, I pray you don't get any hate mail on this, and I'm sure I'm going to get called all kinds of foul names, and that's cool. I'm cool with that, because I know my creator, and I know your creator in heaven is going to be smiling at us, and those that come against us, they might wind up with a bunch of the old biblical plagues, you might say. I mean, maybe locusts, maybe sores, maybe boils. They might find out what it's like to be on the side that isn't going to win, because in the end, my friend, we win. I've read the back of the book. We win.
Gene, thank you for the call. God bless.
God bless, brother.
All right, we appreciate it. 580-5436-580-KIDO.
Now we can all go back to our lives, and we can celebrate and marry and love, because, you know, that's what this is all about, is love, baby.
There we have it. By the way, at the Ada County Courthouse, they've gotten rid of man and wife on the marriage certificates. It's now spouse and spouse. Are you down with that? 580-5436-580-KIDO. More reaction?
Today I don't have to go to jail. Today I can marry the person I love and I commit my life to.
Who was ever sending anybody to jail for being married? Oh, that's right. It's the hyperbole in the news media. We just make it up as we go. Tom Munns, TomMunns.com. Good morning.
Good morning, my brother. What an interesting position Governor Otter is going to find himself in, huh?
I think Governor Otter, this is a no-brainer for him. He just goes ahead with it.
Well, it actually isn't. We can actually predict the outcome of this, and it's quite easy to understand. Governor Otter had the opportunity to stand on the rights of the states by denying Common Core and denying health care. And what was his answer? His answer said the Supreme Court has ruled. So it's pretty easy to see that if he can repeal this or stand against this, or as Federalist 16 says, just simply ignore it, then he could have done the same thing with Common Core. So he's in a bit of a predicament right now. the idea that that they would do this. The guy was ranting earlier, good rant, by the way, about something needs to be done. A common understanding of law needs to be understood in order to be able to properly implement this. You know, we have a state constitution. If a Ninth Circuit Court or a Supreme Court can rule against any provision in the Constitution, it's a complete subversion of states' rights, and we can say we should be asking the question, then what are the purposes of the state constitutions then if the federal constitution can violate any provision of the state constitution? That's like saying, well, you know, China come in here and overthrow our laws, or – you know, any other jurisdiction.
Right, but specifically, what does this mean to you, this ruling?
Well, you know dang well what it means to me. This is an unlawful encroachment on an undermining of the complete foundation, the most complete and most fundamental foundation of America. That, you know, most people, that they think it's all about love and all this kind of stuff, they don't understand how the totalitarian aspect of the influence of homosexuality works. They knew that in order to be able to bring America down as one of the strongholds of the world was to be able to undermine the traditional family. Now, how does that sit well with everyone?
Well, we're seeing it today thanks to the Ninth Circuit. Tom Munns, thank you very much. 580-5436, 580-KIDO.
It ain't the 80s. We ain't down with the ladies. It's 2010. We're down with Kevin Miller and the men.
There we have it. By the way, the advocates of gay marriage have equated gay marriage with the desegregation of schools, with the idea of civil rights, allowing women on juries, letting gays and lesbians serve openly in the military. They argue, according to this report from Channel 7, that gay marriage is no different when same-sex couples are married, just as when opposite-sex couples are married. They serve as models of loving commitment to all, the judges wrote. These are the judges. Now, do you agree with this statement? When same-sex couples are married, just as when opposite-sex couples are married, they serve as models of a loving commitment to all. Think about that. Attorney Monte Stewart, who argued on the state's behalf, told the panel of judges, same-sex marriage would undermine children's right to be raised by a male father and a female mother. Quote, the man-woman meaning for marriage institution generates and sustains the child's bonding right with its social expectation. The judges rejected that assertion. Is the Ninth Circuit not in America? 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Let's get you to traffic.
Don Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Now we can all go back to our lives and we can celebrate and marry and love. Because, you know, that's what this is all about, is love, baby.
There we have it. We've redefined love. We redefined marriage. What's next? Polygamy. What say you? Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. The Ninth Circuit saying, we'll be seeing you to Idaho. We have one man that can save us now. One man, and we are calling upon him right now, our governor, Governor Butch Otter, not to listen to the negative naysayers, but to take this to the Supreme Court and make them say no to Idaho. We go back to the phones. John and Meridian, good morning. You're on with Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Kevin. I've enjoyed listening to your show so far this morning. I just had some thoughts about political correctness and how it relates to gay marriage. You know, they're closely intertwined. You know, when you mention that that people when you tell somebody that you're against gay marriage and they call you a homophobe, well, you just stand up to them and tell them they're wrong. That's what I would do. And also, now, political correctness is something we need to kill also. And it can be killed just by calling people on it and saying, you know, that's not acceptable. It needs to be crushed. And, you know, and just not put up with it at all. And when somebody says, well, you can't say that, no matter what it is, whether the subject is gay marriage or whether it's talking about the Constitution or what it is. You know, you just, any time that political correctness rears its ugly head, crush it. And when people call you a homophobe for standing up for traditional values, then call them on that too. You know, you just have, people just need to develop the courage to do that. And I know we can do it.
John, thank you for the call.
Thank you, Kevin. You have a good day.
You too. Appreciate the encouraging words. Quickly to traffic, and then we'll try and get in Jonathan from Boise. I've got about a minute, and it's yours.
Oh, I'm just going to take about 20 seconds here. Just feeding on to the what your previous caller said about the political correctness aspect of it. I'm 14 years now in the military, and just like civilian life, I obviously understand there's cases of hate, but it's all politicized. There's no other purpose to it. The idea that now gays can finally serve with pride in the military, honestly, I've never seen any cases of hate after 14 years. Most service members were absolutely indifferent, and it hasn't changed a single thing day to day in the work environment because nobody cared. But it, you know, it gives good political points towards whoever's behind it, whoever's backing it.
Jonathan, thank you for your service. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it, sir.
Yep, bye.
Great points there. More coming up next. We'll talk to Steve Yates, get his thoughts on gay marriage, ISIL, and the November election. Serving Meridian.